With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome to this week's EvoStick Extra. My name is Ben Hughes and coming up in the show, we've got another one of those brilliant FA Cup previews with interviews across this great league of ours. We'll also be talking to James Hayes later in the show with all this weekend's matches in the league. But before all of that, let's just get stuck in, shall we? Straight into the third qualifying round of the FA Cup. So hello and welcome to this week's EvoStick Extra. A plethora of third qualifying round ties to come this weekend for non-league day. So let's just get stuck in, shall we? AFC Rushden and Diamonds of the Southern League are hosting Ashton United, while Barwell are hosting our old friends Kingsland Town. And our first sniff of a giant killing now, as Brackley Town of the National North are hosting Division 1 side Rugby Town. For more on this fixture now, we're joined by the media officer at Rugby Town. It's John Venner. Hello, John. How are you?
Not too bad, Ben. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you, John. But how excited are you about this weekend coming?
Well, I mean, it is the biggest sporting competition, knockout competition in the world, I'm led to believe, by various people around the club. So, it's a good opportunity for us to first of all make some money if we win and also give some exposure and keep on going in the cup.
You've got Brackley Town this weekend. We'll cover that match off very shortly. But just a general overview of Rugby Town. It's your first season in this league, at Division 1 South in the EvoStick. How have you found it so far?
Yeah, you're right. We spent 30-odd years in the Southern League from 1983 to the end of last season. So it was always going to be a new adventure for us, a new league. We had a new manager at the start of the season, pretty much a brand new squad as well. So it's been an eventful season. We've lost the manager in the meantime, but another new manager in, Dale Belford, who obviously quite an experienced non-league manager, was at Tamworth in the conference for quite a while. And we've had a really good cup run. It's been quite an adventure as far as the games we've played so far. And, you know, league-wise, we're off the bottom now, so hopefully it's all upwards from here on.
Division 1 South is a very tough league this year. There's lots of unknowns. There's not just yourselves who are new to the league. There's a few new teams in there as well, like Daventry, for example. And what do you think about the standard of the league compared to the Division 1 Central in the Southern League?
It's hard to tell this early on, really. We've only played 8 or 9 games league-wise. Like I say, there was a bit of an upheaval, having lost our manager 2 or 3 weeks ago. And, yeah, we haven't been frightened by anything we've seen, but we haven't necessarily picked up the results that we've been looking for. And, you know, in the Central Division of the Southern League, we had five or six very good years on the bounce where we were either in the playoffs or there or thereabouts, challenging playoffs. So, obviously, we were used to being a winning team, and this year it's been a little bit tougher. But say, hopefully a new manager, new ideas, and he's brought in a lot of players already, and he'll bring some more in over the next few weeks, and then we'll hopefully be competitive in that top half of the league rather than the bottom half.
You have been very competitive in the FA Cup through to the third qualifying round. Brackley Town in the National North are currently second from bottom, from memory. What do you reckon for your chances?
Well, obviously, they're struggling as well, so there'll be two teams looking for a little bit of a turnaround to their season. We're not afraid of anybody. We're underdogs, we know that. But I spoke to Dale this morning and he said there's going to be one underdog or one upset, and hopefully it's us.
It's a question that I ask a lot on these FA Cup specials. What would a good FA Cup run mean for Rugby Town? Because it's very possible at step four to go on a run, certainly to the first round. What would it mean for rugby?
Well, as I said previously, there's the financial boost, there's a potential exposure boost. You know, if another 2 games were in the first round proper, we could be up against a Football League team. We've got a great facility down at Rugby, and it'd be great to showcase that to a wider audience. I know any team that comes and visits us is always very complimentary about the pitch, the way the stadium's been put together. So hopefully we can share that with a great audience.
And last question, John. Now that you're in the EvoStick League, how have the pies been? Have they been a bit better?
Yeah, it's not quite pie season yet, isn't it? That comes later in the winter, as far as I'm led to believe.
No, that's not true. That's not true at all.
I'll report back on that one near the end of the season, if that's okay, then.
Thanks, John, that's perfect. So, good luck this weekend against Brackley Town. I think you've got a very good chance. I've said it. I'm not jinxing you, though, by saying it. And on behalf of the listeners, we wish you all the best against Brackley Town. Hope you win.
Thanks, Ben. See you soon.
So there's another chance for a bit of a giant killing this weekend, as Chasetown of Division 1 South are hosting, well, National North side, Stalybridge Celtic. And for more on this, we're joined by the manager at Chasetown. It's Dave Stringer. Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Mate. You?
Yeah, not too bad. So how's preparations going for this weekend's big match?
A bit. Well, we've picked up three or four injuries, to be honest. Last Saturday in the trophy, we picked up four injuries to key players, so... Not ideal, if I'm honest, but you know, we had them in training last night. Possibly two of the four will be fit. If we get any more, any more than that, it will be a bonus. But you know, two of the four should be fit. So you know, preparation is not ideal, but you know, that's football.
Dave, now's your chance to give Stalybridge a bum steer. Say you've got six players injured at this moment.
Exactly.
In time. Yeah, yeah. All kinds of stuff's going on. You might have to play, maybe.
It's a possibility, yes.
So what does it mean this weekend to be in the FA Cup and hosting a club like Stalybridge Celtic?
Well, it's fantastic. It brings the buzz back to the club again. You know, Chasetown over the last 10 years, you know, I've had some good cup runs, particularly 10 years ago. You know, they had a fantastic cup run, getting knocked out third round, I think. So they've had good cup runs over the years, and it looks like it brings that buzz back to the town. And we've had three good results, you know, to get to this stage, and, you know, we're all looking forward to it. We know it's going to be extremely tough tomorrow against our conference Northside, but you know, it's 11 against 11, and you know, we know we have to be somewhere near our best to get a result, and hopefully they can have a bit of an off day.
I was going to ask you about the results in the FA Cup. You've had some really good results this year. What's been your favourite game so far?
Grantham, I think the second quality, we were excellent. We won 4-0. They're from a step above us. Before, didn't flatter us at all. It could have been anything, really, and we played to our potential that day. We were excellent. We passed extremely well, scored four really good goals, and created many, many more chances to score. But I think that was probably our best performance so far.
I was having a conversation with Salford City a couple of weeks ago, and their home form was pretty ropey at the time, and their first win at home was against Curzon Ashton in the FA Cup. Your home form at this moment in time has not been the best this season. Do you reckon that there's a good chance of that now, of turning it around?
I hope so, because we've had three home wins in the Cup.
Yep.
So we seem to be doing well at home in the Cup, but you know, we've not turned performances into results so far at home. We played extremely well in a lot of the games and deserved a lot more. In the Cups, we played well and scored goals and got the results our performance has deserved. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we can continue in that vein on Saturday and give a good performance and just see where that performance takes us.
And just the last question, just about the general league form. It's early days, only 10 games in. You've had a few injuries and that kind of thing, and the Cup's not been a distraction, I don't want to say, but it does detract a bit from the league form. What's your aims this year other than a decent Cup run?
No, we've still got bigger. We're 8 points off the playoffs. I know that sounds...
No, that's...
We've got a good squad, and our aim is to get into the playoffs. It always was. You know, our squad is good enough to be right up there. Like I said, the games we've lost, we've dominated some of these games and not scored the goals we should have done. So that is the aim, to finish in the top five. You know, unfortunately, sometimes the cup run can get in the way, but we, you know, we're more than happy to be involved in the FA Cup, and long may it continue.
Well, Dave Stringer, on behalf of all the listeners, we wish you all the best this weekend. We do hope you win. And all the best. Good luck.
Cheers, mate. Thank you very much.
That's Dave Stringer there, the manager at Chasetown FC. Thanks for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra. There might be another upset as well. While Chasetown are hosting Stalybridge Celtic, Division 1 North side Drawsden have also got National North competition this weekend, as they're hosting Gainsborough Trinity. Right, for more on this fixture now, we're joined by the assistant manager at Drawsden. It's Aon Lattie. Hello, Aon. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Could be better.
I know. This is an exciting weekend ahead for Drawsden, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, personally, not for the management team. We've been here and had some, you know, we've had some good times in the FA Cup previously. I'm just trying to get it through to the players, you know, what it can mean for them and the excitement of it as well. So I'm trying to pass that on to crop of new players that we've got.
When you talk about the times Drolsden have had, you used to play for Drolsden as well, didn't you, back in the day? A bit of a legend at Drolsden. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, I've been called worse.
Okay, that's fine.
I've been there for probably about 23 years now.
Well, that's legendary status then. What would an FA Cup run mean for Drolsden? Getting to the fourth and maybe even doing what Warrington did and getting through to the first round proper?
Yeah, we've been there before. I was stood at Leighton Orient with 5 minutes to go, where we were going to the second round of the FA Cup. We're beating Leighton Orient with 5 minutes to go. You know, so of course we want to replicate those kind of moments. You know, and actually getting through the tie. You know, this time we know the FA Cup is difficult. You need that element of luck. I think if you go back over the years, I'd say we've probably been unlucky. Although we've been lucky to get to certain rounds, but then we've been unlucky. It's a great feeling, the FA Cup. I think everyone shares that. I'm trying to, you know, make sure that we do get as far as we possibly can. At this moment in time, teams we're now playing, the pressure is on them and not on us, you know, so we can go and play freely because we've probably got through the earlier rounds with our banana skins. It's now over to teams who are above us to perform and beat us on the day.
Well, Gainsborough Trinity are currently they've a mixed bag of results, really. They're mid-table in the National North. What have you made of them?
We've had some reports from, you know, teams who's recently played them, where they haven't changed the team that much. A lot of the players we kind of recognise, you know, from past. So, you know, we'll have an idea of the style of how they play.
And it's non-league day as well. Are you expecting a big crowd?
I wouldn't say so. It's not been. You've got to get to that first round proper, and then you know everyone tends to come out. To be honest, you know, hopefully, you know, few may come and watch us. Our results have not been great in the league, you know, but yeah, we could do with the support, you know, just to kind of get us through this round.
I was just going to touch on the league form for a second. Obviously, at the moment, second from bottom, but not completely cut adrift or anything like that, and you have been picking up the odd occasional result. Is it just trying to find your feet this year? Is it kind of transition period for Drolsden?
We've been unlucky. We've been really unlucky. We've probably lost about four centre halves already. You know, it's been centre halves been a key position for us, and you know, we have been struggling. It's been difficult to kind of, you know, name the same side, and we've had a big turnover of players once again. So, you know, he's kind of bedding people into the way we want to play, because that draws, and it's not only about winning, but it's winning, playing a particular style, you know, yeah, playing football.
And obviously, Drolsden, if we talk about the name of Drolsden, Drolsden are a big deal in non-league. And we're all aware of the bad season of a couple of seasons ago, the relegation year. What's the long-term ambition then, the medium-term ambition for Drolsden as part of the management team? Is it to work your way back up as quickly as possible, or is it going to take time, do you think?
Yeah, I think so, until it's mathematically impossible for us to get to hit the playoffs this year. That's what we'll be striving for. You know, we've always set ourselves high targets to achieve, and it's no different this year. We want to finish as high as we possibly can. You know, mathematically now, we'd still be saying the target is to get into the playoffs. You know, and it's our job to go and do that, you know, and try and build and bring in players who can do the job for us to get us there. There isn't any panic at the moment, to be honest, in terms of where we are in the league. No, if you ask me, is it good enough? No, we're way below target, but, you know, we're not going to panic about it.
Well, Aeon Latte, on behalf of all the listeners, we hope that you make it through to the next round. Can't stand these National North sides; they're so biggie. So I really hope that you win and go through to the fourth qualifying round.
Appreciate it.
Nice one. That's Aeon Latte there, the assistant manager at Drolsden FC. Thanks for coming on, mate. Cheers for that. And in another NPL versus National North side affair, Burscough are travelling to Harrogate Town on Saturday. For more on this fixture now, we're joined by the manager at Burscough. It's Mark Beasley. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, Ben. Yourself?
I'm not too bad. So, how are preparations going for this weekend's big match?
As well as they can do at our level. Obviously, it's difficult with to get everyone to training on both nights of the week with lads working and other commitments. We understand it's difficult and we've got a few little injuries, so we're just sort of having a look at it really and just seeing how lads are. That's what we've basically done this week.
I mean, one way of preparing for a match is to go on a belting run of form, and that's certainly been the case with Bursko. I mean, you've not lost now for ages, have you?
No, we're in a good run of form, if you like. We've won the last six, so it's something that's not been seen at Bursko for a long time. But you know, the lads have been brilliant, and they want more. And you know, they're in the mood where the next game can't come quick enough, which is great from my point of view, because we don't really need to do much to get games are coming thick and fast, which is always at this level. And especially if you have a cup run, you know, you get congested and you're fixtureless, but that's fine, because when things are going okay, then you want to play all the time.
What's been the main changes at Bursko this season? Because I don't think there's been a start like it for a while now for Bursko, has there?
No, well, it's funny enough, we start the first week of the season, we lost the first two games, and then we drew on Saturday, so it was all a little bit, oh, same old Bursko type thing. But we managed to, myself and Liam, who's my assistant, we've managed to convince the lads that, look, the performances are there. As long as the performances, the results will come. And we had a little run, and then we got really sort of taken apart by Northwich on the day. They were far, far better than us, and it was a sort of bit of a wake up for one or two. And since then, since that day, we've recovered well, and we've progressed, and the sort of belief's grown. And we're confident in the group as it is, and I think the lads are starting to believe in each other now.
The last round of the FA Cup, the second qualifying round, it was Spennymoor Town, and that was a hell of a result.
Yeah, it was. We went up there and we probably weren't fancied to get a win. And they're a good, very good team, and they're in the top five, and no doubt they'll be challenging for the top spot in our league throughout the season. And it was a great performance. We deserved to win, and that they quite openly admitted that, and that was really sort of nice of them to say that, and we played really well. We have a certain way of playing, and whoever we play against, we try and adapt our style. But sometimes, you know, you have to give a bit of respect to the team, to another team, and we sort of nullified the threats a little bit, and that allowed us to go and play. And that's what the lads want to do. The lads want to go and play football, and we encouraged them to do that, and they did that, and the pitch up there is lovely, and it was a nice day, and we played some good stuff and typified with the last goal. And I think it was about five man passes and move, and we broke counter attack, and it was a good header from Will to finish the game off.
And congratulations as well on beating Bamber Bridge in the FA Trophy this past weekend as well. It must be as you kind of alluded to, it must be complicated to have all these fixtures and cup competitions thrown in as well, but it's what it's all about, isn't it? Being in as many competitions as you can.
Yeah, definitely. I think, as I say, you know, when you go on you have a good week, and we won three in a week, and the lads started, and then we had a good win at Spennymoor. That, you know, the confidence was there, and it was sort of the next game. As I said, the next game can't come quick enough, where it's a cup game or it's a league game, and you know, we'd be a strong Bamber Bridge team on Saturday, and it was a really tough game. But again, it just helps the belief in the squad that. We played Bamber Bridge, we played Spennymoor and Warrington, who will probably be in the top five or six last year, and we beat them all. So there is, you know, scope for us to go on and compete against these teams. Now, you know, it's a long season, we're only, not even a quarter of the way into it, so there's a long way to go yet as regarding any possibilities in the league. But the Cups have been great, and obviously from our point of view, from the club point of view, brings finance in, and it hopefully brings a few more sponsors through the door, which is needed.
Now, let's talk about this match on Saturday then. Harrogate Town, currently third in the National North, been very impressive. What do you reckon, without jinxing it? And I don't want to jinx you, you see, Mark.
Yeah. As I say, it's obviously they're massive favourites. You know, the third in the Conference North and looking for promotion for the Conference National, which would be great for them. So, you know, they're all aim and their objective is to get promoted. Now, for us, it's a chance to go and pit our wits against a team that's, you know, we haven't played a team at this level, and we'll have a go and see where it takes us. You can't really predict the score either way. You know, you've got the old sort of magic of the FA Cup, if you like. So, you know, there's that to be contained with. But it's up to us to try and play at our maximum. Hope they have a little bit of an off day, and we can capitalise on it.
Well, Mark, on behalf of all the listeners, wish you all the best for this weekend. We hope you win. Or at least take him to a replay and then get some money for the Tuesday or the Wednesday night match as well. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Brilliant.
So, Matt, all the best on behalf of all the listeners. Good luck on Saturday.
Thank you. Cheers, Ben.
Back to the third qualifying round of the FA Cup now, and Kettering Town are hosting Division 1 North side Bamber Bridge on Saturday, while Salford City, buoyed by their recent giant killing act against Curzon, will be playing Bradford Park Avenue on Saturday. Sporting Kalsa are playing Spalding United, while Stourbridge are playing Rushall Olympic. But there's a really big match on Sunday that we must really talk about now, as FC United of Manchester take on Buxton. For more on this fixture now, we're joined by the manager at Buxton. It's Martin McIntosh. Hello, Martin. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks, Ben. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Just to say, you're in a cafe at the moment eating. So if there's any background laughter and stuff like that, that's where you are. How's preparations going for this weekend's big FA Cup match?
Preparations are good. Obviously, we played on Tuesday night. We had a good away win against Grantham, 3-0. So, we're in good shape and really looking forward to the match.
That's the thing this season so far with Buxton. The league form's been superb, and it's just been a really good start. And that's what you need, isn't it? Form going into a giant killing.
Yeah, FCR giants, that is for sure. We've had a good start. Yeah, we've done okay. We could have been better, to be honest. But we've got a good group of players, and we're going to the match positive on Saturday, and hopefully we can get a good result.
What do you think the improvements that have been made to Buxton for this start of the season so far?
We were in this position last season, we're a little bit sort of similar to what we were last season. We've got good players. We've got good characters in the team. We're much of a muchness really as to where we were at this time last season, I would say. We've won more games this season. So far, we look quite clinical in front of goal.
Round the table at the Magnet a couple of weeks ago, there was a question mark about whether Buxton can keep this run going. That's going to be the main challenge this season, isn't it? Because last season you were up there for a long period of time, but then dropped away. Do you think you can keep this run going?
Well, we hope so. It was definitely the case last year. We tailed off. We sold a player. We lost a player. And Sean Tootin, who was a big player for us last season, had so much attention from six or seven clubs that his mind really drifted away. And he's got his reward. He's gone to Halifax now, but really we needed him to concentrate on the job in hand. And it just upset our rhythm a little bit. And unfortunately, last year we fell short.
Now, FA Cup, FC United this weekend. Me and Swampy did the commentary for FC United's trip to Silverlands last season. And I don't know if you listened to that commentary, but we basically said that was the best first half performance we've ever seen of a team. And that was Buxton's first half performance last season. It was quick. It was high tempo. The passing was superb. Is that what you're aiming to replicate this weekend?
I'd like to think that's what my teams would always try and do. For our first half performance that night, and I can remember it vividly, FC's second half performance was equally, if not better, because they had 10 men, if you remember.
Yes.
And I thought they were excellent. And that's what Marge's teams are all about. They never give up. They score so many last-minute goals. They've got a fantastic support behind them, and now they've got a great infrastructure. So they're a real powerhouse in any division they're in, because of that backing they've got. And they're a fantastic club to play against. They really are. I used to relish playing them. Whether it was at Staley Bridge or at Berry's Ground, and we always loved playing them. And we raised our game, just like everyone else does, against them. And I was sad that in one way that they went up that we wouldn't play FC at their new ground, and lo and behold, we get this draw. You know, I'm delighted, and it's going to be a great occasion and opportunity for our guys to come up against them again.
I do have to say, me and Swampy still wax lyrical about that first half performance. It was out of this world, to be fair. It was mind-boggling. What would a good FA Cup run mean for a club like Buxton? Because FC United, there is a chance that you could win. Witten came very close. What would it mean for Buxton to do a Warrington or a Blyth Spartans this season?
Well, I mean, out with the financial side of it, it would just be great for the whole town. We've had a good cup runs in the last 3 years since I've been there. Unfortunately, we've got by this round, but we've not quite got to the first round proper. I think Geisley stopped us a couple of years ago, you know, we've been close, and it would be great, you know, for the people of Buxton to come out the woodwork. Really, We've got a good fan base, but we need to reignite it. We need to bring them back to the Silverlands, and I think a cup run would be, you know, that would get them back at the ground. And that's what we need to do. Not long ago we were getting 400 and 500 supporters, and that's just dwindled a little bit. And I think a cup run, if we were to, you know, get through the FC Manchester game and possibly progress, it could really get people talking about the football club again.
Well, Martin, I wish you as much luck as I can possibly give as an FC United supporter, but putting my MPL hat on, I wish you all the best of luck. Good luck for the rest of the season, and you're more than welcome to come back on if you do win against FC United of Manchester.
Well, I'd always be happy to come on, and I hope I will be.
Thanks, Martin. That's Martin McIntosh, Buxton manager. Thank you. So that is the FA Cup preview all done and dusted. There's no more FA Cup matches. Well, there was meant to be one more, and we all know what that match was going to be. And we're now going to discuss with the trusted source that is Andrew Simpson, but I'm going to give him a proper introduction because he deserves one this week. Local media in this country is struggling at this moment in time. You know, there's a lot of question marks about, oh, whether we should just go on online only. Is it worth having a sports reporter or a community reporter or a current affairs reporter just covering a small area? And, you know, Mid-Cheshire, it's one of those places, isn't it, where in an average week it would just be the case of, I don't know, some Premiership footballer has decided to knock down a 16th century Tudor cottage to build a mansion, or some local pubs just falling down a salt mine. This week, though, Mid-Cheshire's the place to be. Andrew Simpson, it's carnage over there. Are you all right?
It is, but actually, I think you're fine. This is a normal week for me. It's chaos, mayhem, confusion. This is normal. This is what happens in the crazy world of Mid-Cheshire football. So yeah, it's just actually I need to find more and more elaborate ways to maintain a weekly presence on this podcast.
It's brilliant.
I've nailed it this week.
So apologies for last week. We had to, because of scheduling, we had to get you in to be interviewed on Tuesday, and unfortunately the news broke pretty much that night that the manager at Witten had gone. Just touch upon that briefly. Where are we up to now with Witten?
Yes, indeed. So, yeah, we chatted last Tuesday about lunchtime, wasn't it? Yeah. Witten played later that evening. They lost 4-2 at home to Bamber Bridge, which was their third defeat in the past four games in all competitions. And it proved to be the final one that Scott Dundas and his assistant Wayne Brotherton were in charge. They were sacked after the game, minutes after the final whistle, in fact, by Chairman Mark Harris and left straight away. No mutual consent here, folks. It was very much the club calling time on their brief stay. Obviously, they've only been in place since the summer. They replaced Tony Sullivan as he left when the Witten got relegated at the end of last season. Since then, Witten have appointed a caretaker manager, which is Paul Ogden. It's a name that will be familiar to lots of people who follow the Northern Premier League. He was briefly in charge of Witten 5 years ago when they were in Division 1 North last time around, but he's probably more well-known for his spells with Leeds Town. And actually, he was also a former manager at Northwich Victoria and kind of holds the distinction of taking them to their best ever FA Cup run back in the late 70s. Nice. So he's certainly a well-known face in these parts and probably, like I say, around the Northern Premier League. He's been back at the club himself since the summer in a kind of grandly titled head of recruitment role. So he's been looking after signings, but obviously vastly experienced in terms of management. So he's stepped in and has guided them safely through, although he needed two attempts to beat Ossett Town, Albion, has guided them safely through in the FA Trophy. And it looks like he's going to be in place now. I had a long chat with him yesterday. The club have asked if he'd be happy to stay on for the foreseeable future. And that is likely to be, I think, for another couple of weeks. The official line from the club is that they are kind of keeping all their options open, having a really good look at what's gone wrong and where they want to go next. People who aren't aware did an interview with the chairman, Mark Harris, at the weekend, in which he said that there is a front runner for the position. He wouldn't go on record to say who that is, but nobody has at this stage been offered the job, is the official line from the club, although they do have a preferred candidate. But I don't expect anything to change at Wincham Park for probably the next 10 to 14 days. So Paul Ogden will be in charge for a little bit longer.
And this is the beauty of non-league. The manager's gone, a few players have followed him, and the whole thing is in flux now. But it's kind of normal for this to happen.
Yeah, we see it a lot, don't we? When, yeah. And certainly, obviously, when Scott came in, he brought with him a core of players from his former club, Norton. A couple of those have moved on, along with Ben Mills, who was a forward that came in just after the season started. At the moment, nobody else has left, but to be fair, I do expect one or two more to go. The club, were keen to stress that they didn't really kind of want to purge all of the players that Scott brought in, because firstly, that would look bad, and also secondly, I think they do want to keep one or two of them. But at the moment, a couple have left, but I think that number will grow, and obviously, depending on who comes and takes charge, then you will normally see a turnover of players, won't you, when they bring in their people. Although one interesting thing that Paul Ogden did say to me yesterday is that he has got the freedom, the club have given him the freedom, that if he wishes, he can bring players in. And he has already brought one or two in that have featured in those FA Trophy ties against Ossett Albion. So he could have this where he brings some in as kind of stop gaps or to replace the one or two that have left. And then, whoever's appointed will then also make further change. So it's going to be a little bit of a messy time, I think, for Witten in terms of players over the next few weeks. But of course, we touched on it last week. They're currently 11th in the table. They can't really afford to fall too much further adrift of the top five. So Oggy's got a difficult task in that he needs to keep things ticking over whoever comes in, but also they probably do need to pick up some points in the games as well, just to keep within touching distance of the top five. And just to finish, I mean, the club have also gone on record to say that whoever comes in, their objectives remain exactly the same, and that is to aim for a top five finish. So there is pressure straight away for whoever comes in. They're not kind of in any way writing off the season and saying, right, this is transition, we're going to go for promotion next year. They feel that they've made the change early enough to say, no, we still want to go for the top five.
That's the landlords covered. Now, this is a bit of an FA Cup special this week, and Norwich Victoria are in the FA Cup. But
they are.
It feels like we've been here before. So,
indeed,
it's Hyde United again. It's a match which has been forced to be replayed. Now, yes. What's the backstory to this, and where are we up to?
Okay, this came to light on Friday evening, and it actually was came into the public domain via Marine, who were scheduled to host Northwich in the FA Cup third qualifying round this Saturday. They put a note, firstly, on a kind of quite cryptic note on their official Twitter feed, saying that the FA Cup tie against Northwich next weekend has been postponed, and there was not really much more flesh on it than that. They then kind of added to that by saying, following an investigation by the Football Association. So that, of course, can kind of set everybody into speculation overdrive. What on earth does that mean? And to Marine's credit, I mean, I was scrambling at this point. It's Friday night, trying to get older people. The FA's off-duty press officer wasn't answering the calls, couldn't get hold of anyone in Northern Premier League. And you're kind of like, okay, Marine have put this out there. People are going to start kind of running amok with wild theories as to what's going on. But like I say, credit to Marine. They then followed that up with a fuller statement later in the evening. They actually published an email that they'd received from the FA to say that Northwich had been charged with fielding an ineligible player in their previous two FA Cup ties. The one which you mentioned, where they beat Hyde 1-0, and then in the previous round against AFC Blackpool. The player in question is a goalkeeper, Mason Springthorpe, who they've signed on loan from Telford United. What transpires to have happened is that Norwich did have permission from Telford to play Mason Springthorpe in the FA Cup. Telford were perfectly happy for that to happen. The problem that's come to light is that the FA felt that the player had not been registered to play in those cup ties properly, which is why they ended up charging Vicks. Fast forward to yesterday, it was in the end, Vicks requested an opportunity to put their case to the FA in person. So they hastily arranged meeting at Wembley yesterday, where Norwich were able to put their case and put forward mitigation as to why there'd been a problem with Mason Springthorpe's registration. The upshot of that was the charge was proven. They didn't kind of actually dispute that the registration had not been done properly, but what they said is there were circumstances surrounding that kind of meant that it wasn't something they'd done deliberately or done dishonestly. The FA officials who were in the room at the hearing were sympathetic to that, but obviously they still needed to reflect in their sanction the fact that Norwich had broken the rules. So we kind of got this outcome whereby they were ordered to replay second qualifying round tie against Hyde, which is now going to take place this Saturday, therefore postponing the third qualifying round tie against Marine, which will now take place next week. And the other little bit of the jigsaw to put into place is that Blackpool, who were the other opponent against which Springthorpe played, mm-hmm. they've not been reinstated the competition, but they have been awarded the prize money, which was £3,000 that Vicks picked up for beating them. So you've kind of the hearing has tried to kind of find a middle way where everybody gets a little bit of kind of the fallout from this. And obviously everybody's kind of going to react differently depending on what their viewpoint is or perhaps which team they support. So you've kind of had a big groundswell of reaction to this. Some people saying, well, that seems a fair enough compromise, right to the other extreme where people saying that, hang on, this is a bit of a fudge, that kind of nobody appears really to have been punished here, but kind of the FA have tried to keep everybody happy, which was an impossible task, frankly. So I don't know. I mean, the problem with this is that hearings like this, and this is something I've moaned about previously and have moaned about again this week, are held completely in private, in secret, whichever word you want to hear. So I did speak to the FA yesterday at length, and they were prepared to say that the arguments that Vicks made, they were persuaded by, but they weren't prepared to kind of say any more about what was said in the room. The kind of evidence, that the kind of conversation that took place remains private, which obviously makes it really difficult for journalists or even supporters, to be fair, to kind of scrutinise the decision and kind of make their own minds up as to whether justice is, well, that might be a too strong a word, but whether fairness has kind of won the day, if you like.
And that's the problem, isn't it? I mean, I'm sure Blackpool Mechanics, AFC Blackpool are going to be, listen to me, I'm like 2005, AFC Blackpool are going to be happy with the £3,000. I'm sure Hyde are going to be fairly happy with having the second bite of the cherry. But then there's Nantwich and Marine, who I've missed out on non-league day, essentially.
Yeah,
so
they're particularly upset. I mean, Marine have, you know, been particularly vocal about the fact that a home FA Cup tie on non-league day, when they normally are particularly successful in attracting Liverpool and Everton season ticket holders to come down and watch them when those two haven't got a game. So they're saying that financially this is quite a significant blow to them, because they were expecting, not only because it's an FA Cup tie, but they were expecting a bumper gate topped up by kind of neutrals, if you like, but coming to have a look at their local non-league team, and that now is not going to happen for them. Similarly with Nantwich, who'd actually done loads of PR work locally to try and attract people to come down and watch their Northern Premier League game against Hyde. They're also really upset. You can understand why. I mean, Marine now will host the game next Tuesday, but obviously, you know, the attendance for all the normal reasons for a midweek game will be significantly down on what it might have been at the weekend. So two teams kind of who it's kind of nothing to do with in one way have ended up being quite significantly affected. But I mean, for balance, and it probably won't make it very popular, but the FA they can't really win, can they, I suppose?
No. I mean, like you say, the only way they could win is essentially by publicising what the issues are. And then all the parties can judge for themselves. But at this moment in time, with the blackout, nobody wins, really, I don't think.
No, and that's not going to change. I've spoken to the FA again today and said, you know, would you be willing to publish in, you know, in more detail the written reasons for the kind of how you've reached the decision? And the answer was no. I mean, they're not obliged to publish them, but we do see it occasionally. We do see it. We've had it with particularly famous cases, you know, in the Premier League, where they have published the written reasons and everyone's kind of been able to have a much more informed debate. But that's not going to happen on this occasion, and you know, it's Vicks Hyde Saturday, so let's go. That's kind of where it's been left.
Well, Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, at least Winsford, are Winsford all right at this moment in time? There's nothing kicking off there or anything?
No, they're chugging along nicely. They got through in the FA Vars last week, so they're quite happy. 1874 Northwich, kind of an up and down time, but very, you know, that's all on the field there. Their kind of worries, which is where they'd want their worries to be. So it's, yeah, it's not all meltdown. There is some football to be talking to be written about locally as well. So yeah,
you're gonna have to get some work experience, kid, in or something like this, right? Anyway, Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. Thanks for joining us this week on the MPL show.
No problem. Speak to you soon.
Well, thank you there to Andrew Simpson for making it clear as mud what's going on in Mid-Cheshire at this moment in time. But it's now time for our own version of putting mud in water, as we're now joined by James Hayes, who's around somewhere in Greater Manchester to tell us all about this weekend's league matches. James Hayes, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, Ben.
Hello. Where are you?
I'm in the middle of Ratcliffe, knocking on doors at the moment for people, getting them ready for Sunday here at Saints and Park for the 96 team coming home.
What are you doing on Sunday? Explain, what are you doing on Sunday at Ratcliffe Borough? Go.
This Sunday, the 96 champions team, it's very rare I can say that, are playing the Salt Star Superstars.
sorry, that was my fault. Carry on. Fair enough.
Yeah, kick off 2 o'clock, celebrities including Alan Halsall, Ralph Little, half the Coronation Street lot, and maybe a certain goalkeeper if he doesn't need to play at a certain FA Cup game.
Excuse me. You do know that I play. I used to be all right at football. You do know that, don't you? Where was my call? Hello?
Yes, well,
is this on? Can you hear me all right?
Tom Glendon. You need to speak to Tom Glendon there.
Unbelievable. I've never been shunned like this in all my life. Anyway, so let's discuss the league. At this moment in time, we're entering a period now where Blyth Spartans are running away with it. It's finally happened. We've got a 4-point gap up at the top. Blyth Spartans taking a 4-point lead over Nantwich Town, and Blyth Spartans currently have a game in hand. How have they done that? Let me tell you. On Saturday, they played Grantham Town away, and it was actually a more tricky affair than I think people thought it would be. Grantham Town 2, Blyth Spartans 3. I'm pretty sure we'll come back to Grantham Town very shortly and their predicament. And then Ramsbottom United on Tuesday, hosting Blyth Spartans, 0-0. Firstly, though, very James, good. Blyth Spartans.
Yeah, talking about Blyth very, very quickly, I think they'll be a bit short about that Ramsbottom result, especially with how we've all been saying it for the last couple of weeks about what's been going on. With a Grantham result, very, very good game there and a very, very good 3 points. Because, again, hard place to play, even especially if they've just had a change of manager. And Grantham are always notoriously a defensive side, allegedly. So, naturally, a hard place to go to. Get a free result.
Nantwich have had a very tricky week with results-wise. They played Ilkeston on Saturday and got beat by 3-1. Bit of a shock result there, based on current form. And then midweek, Hillsdale Town 1, Nantwich Town 1, and an equaliser from Nantwich Town on the 90th minute, James.
You're always going to have these blips in form, I reckon. And I think Nantwich have come to that point. Obviously, now they've got a free week coming up, it could work to their advantage, because I think they've got a Tuesday night game as well next week, which we come to when we do the previews in a second. But you're always going to have these blips in form. It's how they recover. It can tell if they're going to be a championship title team or if they're going to be looking at more at the playoffs as well.
Now, Buxton have moved up into third position on the same number of points as Nantwich Town, 4 points off the lead, with a game in hand over Nantwich Town, but played the same number of games as Blyth Spartans. Buxton have had a decent week, it has to be said. Saturday, they drew 0-0 with Sutton Coldfield Town, but we did suggest that was going to be a tricky away for Buxton, didn't we?
Did indeed. I mean, Sutton Coldfield, again, when we come to them in a second, not exactly proving the team they were on paper at the start of the season either. So
no, that's true.
The way it's going at the moment, good result again for Buxton.
And on Saturday, on Tuesday, Grantham Town 0, Buxton 3. Again, given the closeness of the result for Grantham Town against Blyth, that's a very good result, that, from Buxton.
Yeah, a good stepping stone as well, especially from what was said last week on the podcast, the main one where everyone was very, very, very drunk. But yeah, nice result there for Buxton, and again, a bit good stepping stone. It'll be nice to see what they can do going into this Saturday. and when they play higher opposition, mm-hmm. and then going forward, if we can get a win out of that one as well.
Now, listeners might remember back in the preview show, we had Adam Parks on from the Bridge, and we had an interview with the manager. And the question was asked both by Adam Parks and of me to Adam Parks. Stourbridge have got a good chance, I think, this year. What do you think? I don't think we have. Well, let me tell you, Stourbridge are now fourth.
You can never underwrite
him. No, Stourbridge are now fourth. On Saturday, they beat Hyde United by 2-0. And then on Tuesday, they travelled to North Wales and beat Colwyn Bay by 2-0. A very good week for Stourbridge.
Obviously, coming from the Southern League, this is their second season now, so they've got a bit more tenacity around what this league's about. You might be hearing a few more comments because I'm still laughing about that on Sunday night, by the way. But naturally, I think Stourbridge, again, come later on in the season especially, will become a really frightening force. We just need to get out of this period where teams are still 3 or 4 points against each other, mm-hmm. and you will get that breakaway. Once that happens, depending on where Stourbridge are, they could be a real massive threat going forward.
And there was just one game for Darlington, so it might not be as dramatic as the league might suggest, but they have dropped from third to fifth over this past week. They're now on 23 points. That's a grand total of 6 points shy of the league leaders at this moment in time. And that's happened purely from Saturday's result, which was Darlington 1883-0, Marine 1. A very good result for Marine, but yeah. Firstly, Darlington.
People were saying they were going to walk out of the league this year, and I was one of them, to be honest there. So a bit of a shock result. But again, it's proving that this league's a lot more open than people thought it were, especially if Marina picking up points like that. Obviously, they should have played Salford on Saturday, if I remember correctly, but now that's off. So again, Tuesday, sorry. But that's been called off for some reason. So again, that would have been a deciding game. But I think Darlington will be kind of glad that's not going ahead. You want them games later on in the season, if you just in case, because again, there's a bit more tension to it. I mean, we can see what's happened in the past with that, and Darlington seems to play a lot better when they're under pressure.
Now, Sutton Coldfield Town, we touched upon them a moment ago. Sutton Coldfield Town 0, Buxton 0 was a scoreline on Saturday. Better in midweek, though. Sutton Coldfield Town beating them Division 1 South fellow promotees, Michelover Sports, by 2-0. Sutton Coldfield Town have just been a bit of an enigma in these opening months of the season, haven't they?
Everyone said it. The away games is where they're going to make their season.
One of the big gauges is going to be this Saturday, where Blyth Spartans are hosting Sutton Coldfield Town. That's going to be an interesting one, I feel.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's going to be a real proper test to see what they're like against them, the teams that we're all expecting to be up there. The Ilkstons, the Blythes, obviously, I know Ilkston a bit lower down at the moment. The Stourbridges as well. So if they can get anything out of that match, I think everyone's got to stop writing them off and start considering them as not, if not mid-table, pushing for the playoffs potentially even.
Workington's rise up the table continues. On Saturday, they drew 2-2 with Michelover Sports, but they did come back from 2-0 down in that match, Workington. And on midweek, they beat Whitby Town by 3-1. That was in front of a crowd of 461 there on the west coast of Cumbria.
Good crowd.
So, Workington, this coming weekend, they've got a trip away to Stamford. But Workington, there's a good chance they could make ground up this weekend, I think.
They could, especially with most of the teams above them in FA Cup action as well. Again, another team that everyone was expecting to push forward, but they've not seemed to have done it so far. It's until coming to last coming weeks. Again, they're still in that predicament where one or two losses could see them back down the bottom end of the table. So it's a bit too early, again, to see what their season could be like. But they're pushing forward at the right time. They're doing what they need to do. And again, coming Stamford, who are a team that are down the bottom end, if they can get the result they need, then points could count.
It seems only a week ago since I looked across the table and saw the beaming smile of Alex McKenna while we were talking about the troubles at Matlock Town. But Matlock Town this past week have been brilliant. Matlock Town 1, Ashton United 0. That was on Saturday. And then in the midweek, Matlock Town 1, Rushall Olympic 0. That's solid score lines there for Matlock Town. And on Saturday, Matlock Town will be away at Hales Owen Town, who we'll cover off shortly as well. But Matlock, good week for them.
Yeah, a good 6 points, and again, getting back into contention. I can say there's every team in that like 5th to 19th place at this moment in time, but it's looking at what they can do in the next couple of weeks, especially, again, I think Matlock's nearest rivals have got FA Cup games, if I remember correctly. And plus, the academy team isn't doing too bad at the moment either. So they've got that backup if they need it. I think, if I remember rightly, the academy team scored 9 goals in 2 games, continuing the good form of goal scoring in this division so far. So
now, let's turn the league on its head for a second or two. Ramsbottom United, as we said, picked up their 3rd point of the season this past week. We've also got 2nd from bottom at this moment in time, Grantham Town, who are 5 points clear currently of Ramsbottom United, on the same number of points as Stamford as well. I'm just going through this list. Stamford, I've got working to. We mentioned that earlier, didn't we? Just to carry on these scorelines then. Grantham 2, Blyth Spartans 3 was the scoreline on Saturday, with Grantham coming very, very close to making something happen. But then the result of Buxton's really done it for them, I think. Stamford, they've not really done much better. Colwyn Bay 2, Stamford 1. That was a bit of a must-win game, that one. For Colwyn Bay, and Colwyn Bay came out on top.
Yeah, obviously Colwyn Bay looking to get back involved with the mid-table push before it gets too late. So we obviously keep mentioning the 5 or 6 teams down the bottom. All of them have got to start picking up points sooner or later. Otherwise, it is going to be a long, long season. And we don't want to really have relegation fights now before, like I say, January and February, when it's more... when we are going to start talking about it a bit more.
And we mentioned the fact Colwyn Bay 0, Stourbridge 2, a midweek result. Colwyn Bay on Saturday, they've got a very tough test as they travel to Ilkeston. Ooh. Yes. Everyone said the same thing. Ooh. Across the country. Whitby Town at this moment in time. They're now 4th from bottom. Been a bit unconvincing all the way through this season so far. And it's not really changed this past week. Hales Owen Town 0, Whitby Town 0. Probably a good result in hindsight. Yeah. However, Workington 3, Whitby Town 1. This weekend, though, Whitby Town are hosting Grantham Town. Ooh.
Again,
can you have a 6-pointer? Can you have a 6-pointer in early October?
It's not a 6-pointer, but I reckon that's going to be a game of the weekend that's not in the FA Cup, in my opinion.
Right.
Just to see what both teams like against similar opposition, because I think they've only had 1 or 2 games so far. Looking at, I think Andrew Snaith will be looking about what he said on the first extra this season, and looking to make amends for, I reckon. They need to start doing something. Either that, or they need to have a word with Alan Alcock to reverse his decision.
Sure. And I'm just going to create a new feature called Frickley Watch, a new thing that we're doing. Where we keep an eye on Frickler. A Frickler Athletic 0, Salford City 1. That result puts Salford in 6th position in the league. However, they've not really, they've only played one match this past week. Frickley, they've only played one match this week, but they've now dropped to 13th. What does that mean?
They're going to be safe. I can't, unless they can go on a really, really bad run form, or they get a huge injury crisis.
This show is amazing. Last week, we had one pundit saying, mark my words, playoffs. And now they're going, they'll be safe. It's like ridiculous. Anyway, so Skelmersdale United, Rush Olympic 0, Skelmersdale United 0. And the game on Monday night against Hyde United was postponed. I'm saying that because Skelmersdale United are hosting Frickley Athletic this weekend.
Another good game for that one, Frickley. Again, another chance for them to show what they're worth. Skelmersdale are starting to get a couple of good wins on the bounce at the moment, as well as they beat Marine midweek in the County Cup as well on penalties. So it's an opportunity there for Frickley to try and steal 3 points if possible.
And that concludes the league fixtures for this weekend. There's more peas than an episode of Blockbusters at this moment in time, and that's because of the FA Cup. And we do wish all our sides all the best in the FA Cup, not just the ones we've interviewed on this week's show, but all of you, even the ones who are playing each other. We wish you all the best. And just before we go, James, just to mention as well, this Sunday's thing that's taking place at Stainton Park, would you just like to plug it just before you go?
Yeah, one more time. It is the Ratcliffe Borough 96 Championship team against the Soapstar Superstars and maybe a known goalkeeper. We don't know yet. At Stainton Park, 2 o'clock. So at the Belvoir Stadium, at 2 o'clock. Kick-off, £3 entry. Come meet Ralph Little, Alan Housel, and every other Curry star. You never know who's going to turn up. I haven't even turned up yet.
Well, James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, thank you for your correspondence and your words of encouragement to all our sides in the Northern Premier League this weekend. How can people get involved with the MPL Facebook group where they can critique your work?
At facebook.com/groups/the MPL, or on Twitter @the MPL group. and every now and again on Periscope as well, whenever one of us is bothered.
James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, sponsored by EvoStick. Thanks for joining us this week.
No worries. Thank you very much, Ben.
And now for your correspondence. Richard Scott has been in touch to say, nothing for Nantwich, thanks to the FA. Might head to Mackie v Kiddy. Is that Macclesfield versus Kidderminster? It must be, mustn't it? No game for Marine either. That's from Michael J. Holland, and he follows his correspondence up with the word boo. Martin Cooper's been in touch to say it's a tough game for Salford against Bradford Park Avenue this weekend, but I think we'll win 2-1. Mark Joyce has said, to stuff that small team in Manchester, Buxton aren't playing City, in the FA Cup, come on the Bucks, and to see a game played with a decent football. All right, Mark Joyce, you've said enough. Lloyd Berry's been in touch to say, 3 points against Harrogate. Lloyd, you can't get points in the FA Cup. Oh, you mean Harrogate Railway, don't you? Against Warrington. Sorry, I thought you meant Burscoe. Stampy's been in touch to say, either a home defeat for Stamford or a thrilling 3-3 draw. Smiles emoticon. What's this emoticon business? Anyway, Rob Lloyd, home to Matlock Town for the Yelts. We're a bit of a bogey side for them, so hopefully 3 points in what will hopefully be a big non-league day crowd at Hales Owen. Alex Grimshaw has been in touch to say, Colwyn Bay away at Ilkeston with a new striker. Hopefully we will get 3 points, and I reckon 1-2 to the Bay. Swampy's been in touch to say, Buxton could be the big surprise this weekend. Well jinxed. Peter Bibbings has been in touch to say, we've got a tough game at Blyth to continue our unbeaten run, but reckon current form should see us sneak a draw. Peter, of course, is a Sutton Coldfield fan. Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio, bit of a six-pointer at the wrong end, Whitby Town v Grantham. And Richard Clark, Black Country Derby in the Cup, Stour v Rushall, expecting a tight game, certainly no repeat of our 5-0 fourth qualifying round win 4 years ago. One goal in it, either way, I reckon. That's a nice backhanded compliment there, Richard, just reminding them that you did win 5-0 a few years ago. And that concludes this week's Wall of Correspondence. Tune in next week for another wall littered with your beautiful correspondence. Back over to you, Ben. And that concludes this week's Evo Stick Extra. My thanks to all this week's guests. Good luck to all our sides in the FA Cup this weekend. I hope you all win. And good luck to everybody who's taking part in Non-League Day on Saturday. If your side isn't playing, get down to your local non-league club just to cheer them on. Remember, you can get in touch with us by following us on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. And you can get involved with the Facebook group. That's facebook.com/groups/the NPL. But from everyone here at Evo Stick Extra, I've been Ben Hughes. And wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
And on behalf of everyone here at the EvoStick NPL show, we send our heartfelt condolences to the friends and family of Jordan Berndred, a second-year student at Leek Town's Academy, who sadly passed away at the age of 17 just a few days ago.